Senate will be in order. Will everyone in the Senate and the galleries please rise for the prayer by the Reverend Gock and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
Mother Mary Kerr wrote, "If we really want to pray, we must have to give time to the learning of its lessons." Gracious God, as we spend our time here this week, we recognize our need for time with you. May we take time to be in conversation with you, and then spend time to learn the lessons of what our prayers mean and what we are asking. Keep us ever close to you that we may see and find our way through these times and be a light for others to know you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Searpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from Andrew, what purpose do you rise? Thank you, Senator. Senator from Andrews is here. A quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, ninth day, Thursday, January 18th, 2018.
Senator from Cole, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
Senator from Cole has moved that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and same be approved as fully read. Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from Cole is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Introduction of guest. Introduction of guest. Hearing none. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Hearing none, I'm sorry. Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
To speak on a point of personal privilege quickly.
Senator from Buchanan seeks to speak on point of personal privilege. Senate will come to order. Senator from Buchanan.
Mr. President, in the last few days, I've discussed the no-bid contract between the state of Missouri and Express Scripts, which the governor said to the media that he was going to give them in order to do his PDMP. But when I say something that's not correct or that I find out later, I get more information and I find out that it's not correct, I like to correct the record. And so that's what I'm doing right now. I would like to correct the record. And it turns out that the state of Missouri did not actually give a no-bid contract to Express Scripts.
Senate will come to order. Senator from Buchanan, you may proceed.
What happened was they planned to give the no-bid contract to Express Scripts, saying that Express Scripts had a certain tool that was a sort of a computer tool that would allow them to analyze data. But the budget chair over on the other side of the building said, "Whoa, we don't have an appropriation for this," and put the stop on it. And no contract with Express Scripts was ever given. And the reason that I was upset about it was that Express Scripts had given a donation to the governor's inaugural committee, and we knew that. But Express Scripts, the only company that gave a donation, itself admitted that they gave $10,000 to the inaugural. And they put that on their website, and they're being good corporate citizens. They told everybody that, and that information has come to me. And they also told my staff that they have not made any donation to a new Missouri either. So 10 days ago or so, 12 days ago, it was reported in the Missouri Times, and I guess I missed it among all of the other news. Dr. Randall Williams, the director of the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services, said that they had their PDMP, which is up and running, but they didn't expend any more money on it, not a single dime. And what it amounts to is they get the data for free from Express Scripts in a spreadsheet. I guess they only get part of the data from the state, since Express Scripts only has part of the data. And he and the staff at his department sit down and look at that. It doesn't have any patient identifiable data in it. It's voluntary and free. There is no contract. They're using existing resources. So the $250,000 program did not come to pass. They have not spent a single dime more on this program. There is no Express Scripts contract. There is no bid contract. And so I misstated that when I spoke earlier, and I want to clear up the record. Thank you, Mr. President.
The Senate is on the order of business of petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Petitions, memorial, remonstrances. Hearing none. Resolutions. Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise? Please send your resolution forward. Thank you, Senator. That resolution will be printed in the journal. Resolutions. Senator from the 23rd, what purpose do you rise?
Resolution.
Please send your resolution forward.
No explanation required, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from the 23rd. We are on the order of business of resolutions, and I believe that was a concurrent resolution that you sent forward. We will take that up in just a second.
My apologies, Mr. President.
All right. Senate is on the order of business of resolutions. Senator from Phelps, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a resolution. I would like to print it in the journal, please.
Please send your resolution forward. And that resolution will be printed in the journal. Resolutions. Resolutions. Hearing none, the Senate will go to the order of business of concurrent resolutions. We will. Senator from Lewis, what purpose do you rise?
I have a concurrent resolution.
Please send your concurrent resolution forward. Okay. Madam Secretary, please read the title.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 36, relating to Shingles Awareness and Prevention Month in Missouri.
Senator from Lewis, do you care to explain your resolution, concurrent resolution?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. President. Shingles Awareness and Prevention Month. As a person who has had shingles, and I will tell you it's one of the most debilitating viruses that I ever had, felt like you're on fire. But if you've ever had chicken pox, it's very important that you do, as an adult, if you're a healthy adult, get the vaccination. One in three people in the United States will contract shingles in their lifetime. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there, I believe it's in 2015, there were only 30% of eligible adults had gotten the vaccination. And I will urge everybody to get it if they're eligible, and I would encourage the support of this resolution. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. That concurrent resolution will be printed in the journal. The Senate is on the order of business of concurrent resolutions. The Senate is on the order of business of concurrent resolutions. Senator from the 23rd, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a concurrent resolution.
Please send your concurrent resolution forward.
Sign right there and put your number.
Senator, do you want to explain your resolution?
No explanation required, Mr.
All right,
President.
Thank you, Senator. That concurrent resolution will be printed in the journal. It says on the order of business, concurrent resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Hearing none. Senator from Phelps, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire the Senator from Lewis?
Senator from Lewis. Senator from Lewis, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from Phelps?
Yes, I do.
Senator from Phelps, you may proceed.
Thank you. I want to commend you on your concurrent resolution. Not this past summer, but summer before I actually had shingles.
It's and not fun, is it?
I could not get the vaccine because I take an immune-altering drug for an autoimmune disease that I have. And I'm telling you, I mean, I still have pain on that side to the point that some nights I can't hardly sleep. It's been 2 years. Took all the antiviral drugs, did all the stuff I was supposed to, absolutely thought I'd have to get better to die. So anyone that can get this vaccine, I'm telling you, please get it. It is not a fun disease.
I was lucky enough, I got to the doctor within 72 hours of first having the initial signs. So he gave me that shot. He said it won't stop it, but it will shorten the duration. So I had about 3 weeks, and I tell you, that was about all I could stand. Did you try any of the old wives' remedies?
I had this thing all summer long, and I tried just about anything anybody suggested. And because of my immune system being whacked, I got to enjoy them a lot longer than most people. And I'll tell you what, it really got me down. I had bypass surgery almost 20 years ago, and that was pretty tough. Nothing. This shingles beat me worse than that. So I don't know why anyone would not get that vaccine. My wife is going to get the vaccine, but she has to be gone from the house for like 2 weeks after she gets the vaccine for fear that I would blow up again. So I'm really susceptible. And of course, it's not a problem for her to be gone because she leaves a lot anyway. But
I'm sure she's looking forward to a vacation.
She is. Another trip. Thank you for bringing
that. I tried the vinegar. I tried the oatmeal, and nothing.
Yeah, everything.
Nothing worked.
No.
So I encourage everybody to get that shot.
It's miserable. Thank you.
Senator from Butler, what purpose do you rise?
I inquire, Senator from Lewis.
Senator from Lewis, do you yield to an inquiry from Senator from Butler?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
You know, something else I learned about shingles, a lot of people think it's folks like the three that's been speaking on it, an age thing. But actually, my daughter's in her 20s, and she got shingles just a few weeks ago. And I have a family member that actually lost their eyesight out of one of their eyes from shingles.
If you get it on your head, that's the worst there is.
Right. I apparently lost her vision in one eye. not my daughter, but one of my other family members, so.
If you ever break out with a rash, I encourage you to, within the first 24 hours, try to get to a doctor, because if it's shingles, there is a shot they can give within the first 72 hours that will shorten the duration. It does not stop it. You will still be painful, but I've heard of people having the pain for over a year, and it's not good.
Right. Well, for all the young people that's listening right now, you can go to like a pharmacy lots of times and get a shingle shot, so you don't even have to go to the doctor's office.
Yeah, they don't recommend that, though. I believe CDC only recommends that for people over 50.
Oh, they're right.
But like I say, go to a doctor if you have the rash. Then you can get that shot within the first
72 hours. I meant before you know you have the rash vaccination. So you can't get that under 50 at a pharmacy?
I'm not going to say you can't. The CDC doesn't recommend it.
I see.
But you,
okay.
I would confer with your doctor.
All right. Thank you very much.
The Senate is on the order of business of introduction of bills. Introduction of bills. Senator from Lewis, what purpose do you rise?
I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
No explanation needed.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 938, introduced by Senator Munslinger, an act relating to meat.
Introduction of bills. Senator from the 8th, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
No further explanation needed.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 939, introduced by Senator Searpoy, an act relating to taxation.
Introduction of bills. Senator Andrews, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
No explanation.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 940, introduced by Senator Hageman, an act relating to the imposition of a tax to fund roads and bridges upon abolishing the township form of county government.
Introduction of bill. Senator from Johnson, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution number 34, introduced by Senator Hoskins, a joint resolution relating to property tax exemptions for veterans.
Introduction of bills. Introduction of bills. Senator from St. Francis, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
No explanation necessary.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 941, introduced by Senator Romine, an act relating to floodplain management.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Jefferson, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have two bills.
Please send your two bills forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. No explanation is needed.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the first bill.
Senate Bill Number 942, introduced by Senator Whelan, an act relating to trust accounts.
Madam Secretary, please read the second bill.
Senate Bill Number 943, introduced by Senator Whelan, an act relating to pre-need funeral contracts.
Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the Senator from the 3rd.
Senator from the 3rd. Senator from the 3rd, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from the 14th?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Senator from the 14th, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was intrigued by the title of your bill, Floodplain Management. What's that bill all about?
We have some flooding issue in the southern Jefferson County area that they built an overpass that has choked the water down to where it's backing up. And so we need to figure out a way to manage that floodplain. Because it's near a substation, there's a potential danger of the water getting into that substation. So,
yeah. We have a floodplain issue in the district I represent as well. There's a landfill in the floodplain. It's called Missouri Bottoms. And so we've been really concerned about the migration of radioactive waste in that floodplain. So when I heard the title, I was just really intrigued and interested about it. I realize this is an issue important to your district, and I would never want to get in the way of something that's important to your district.
Thank you.
Introduction of bills. Senate is on the order of business of introduction of bills. Senator from the 23rd, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward. Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill Number 944, introduced by Senator Igel, an act relating to the purchasing of modernized technology using unexpended state funds saved through a state technology modernization fund.
Introduction of bills. Senator from the 5th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
Thank you.
Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill Number 945, introduced by Senator Nasheed, an act relating to civil rights for homeless persons.
Senator, do you care to explain your bill?
I do. Thank you.
You may proceed.
Mr. President, I would encourage each and every one of my colleagues to read this Bill of Rights for the homeless. We had two situations in the St. Louis area where we had bad weather. It was bad weather and to the tune of like 0 degrees, where we lost two homeless men as a result of that. We have a major problem with homelessness here in the state of Missouri, and I think we need to begin to take a closer look at how we help those who are in need the most. And again, this bill deals with the homelessness bill of rights. Please read it, colleagues. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator. Introduction of bills. Introduction of bills. Hearing none. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, and I'd ask you call the calendar.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to bills for perfection. Senator from Barton, what purpose do you rise? Oh, I'm sorry, Senate Bill 564, Senator from Barton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 564 be brought before the body for perfection.
The Senator from Barton has moved that Senate Bill number 564 be taken up for perfection. It's made of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Barton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill 564 be declared perfected and ordered printed, and I have a for substitute. I'd like to send it forward.
Please send your substitute forward.
And I move for its adoption. It has been distributed, and I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
A waiving will be granted. Senator, do you care to explain your substitute?
I would. Thank you, Mr. President. Let me start kind of with the brief explanation of what the substituted, why the substitute was drafted, and then I'm going to back up a little bit and give a little background, and also everything in the bill, go through what's left in the bill. The hearing on Senate Bill 564 identified three areas that were of particular concern. So we essentially went back to the drafting board and addressed those three issues. The three issues that seemed to have the most concern, one was the fuel adjustment charges and the inclusion of regional distribution charges and some other things in the fuel adjustment costs. So we have removed that section entirely from the new language. That eliminated about four pages of the 16-page bill. The second was the hardening of the cap. That basically means whether everything is under the cap or whether there are things like trackers that are outside the cap. The or substitute brings everything under the cap. So there's virtually nothing that is any longer outside of the 3% cap on annual average increases in the rates of electricity. And then finally, one other significant concern was that the piece of plan in service accounting was authorized for a longer period of time than it sunsetted in 10 years, but the caps sunsetted in 5 years. So we have changed that language. There is no longer that 5-year gap that was bringing suspicion. We now have a 5-year sunset that aligns with the PISA authorization. And then it goes back to the Public Service Commission, and they can determine whether or not to extend the PISA authorization. So I want to go through now just some of the history first, and some of the reason for the bill, and then the all of the provisions of the bill. There are a number of handouts on my colleagues' desks. And I want to try to walk through those first, and that gives kind of a sense of where we're headed here and why we're doing this. And then we can discuss more thoroughly what's actually in the bill that allows it. First of all is a cover letter that explains some of the purpose of the bill. We've got a 100-year-old regulatory framework, and a lot has advanced in terms of science and technology in those 100 years. A lot has changed in the energy industry and the way that energy is delivered. And so there's a real need to address that regulatory environment. The cover letter that you have on your desk explains some of that reasoning, the need for additional cybersecurity, the need for more intelligent system, more intelligent grid, so that there can be two-way flow of electricity, so we can accommodate some of the new generation in wind and solar. It also addresses one of the main concerns that we've heard from electricity consumers, and that is that rate increases are out of control. For the last 10 years, we've seen 5 to 6% annual increases in electricity rates. And businesses and residents both see that as just simply unsustainable, that we cannot continue that trend. So there's a real desire to address that trend. That leads us to the charts attached to the letter that explains some of the background and purpose of the legislation. Those two charts are a 5-year look back and a 10-year look back. And those look backs illustrate where electricity prices would be today if the legislation that is before you in 564 had been enacted 5 years ago or 10 years ago. We're looking at millions of dollars of savings to Missouri electricity consumers. So that's simply an estimate of what would have happened in that industry if we had imposed these caps some years ago. We also know that there is widespread support of our constituencies to do something about Missouri's grid in terms of modernizing it. The next piece of paper on your desk shows that 70% of Missourians favor legislation that would make Missouri's energy grid smarter, more secure, and more stable if they created caps and maintained regulatory oversight and consumer protections. Those are both true in the legislation that's before you. 71% of Missourians favor legislation that accelerates energy companies' improvements in smart grid technology. It introduces more clean and renewable power, saves consumers money in the long term, gives consumers real tools to lower their own energy bills, and provides real-time information on consumer smartphones that allows them to monitor and control their electricity use. One of the things that that you will find is that at today's investment, infrastructure investment, because our grid is being modernized at a certain level, but at the level of investment today, Mr. President, it will take us somewhere between 40 to 50 years to modernize the grid to today's standards. Now, those standards will change over that time, and so there will be additional modernization that will be needed on what's being modernized today. And so this, we're looking at a race that will never catch up. And so there has to be something done to make sure that we're investing additional monies in the infrastructure. 79% of Missourians favor legislation that accelerates energy company improvements in cyber and physical security, that protects the electric grid and customers from cyber attacks and hackers. Just within the last year, a nuclear facility in Kansas was hacked into. We know those threats are real, Mr. President, and we know that they have to be addressed. The next item on your desk is an article from the University of California, Riverside. The main thing I'd like to turn your attention to is on the last page. It's highlighted. It talks about reaping rewards, and this is dealing with grid modernization. It says, switching to a smart grid is all about providing consumers with a financial edge, not just improving power management and adopting greener technology. Here's the key. Successful adoption of this technology will enable the average household to save nearly $600 in direct bill savings by providing real-time information on energy consumption. The technology will force consumers to reduce their energy consumption by 5 to 10%. That's what the research shows, that once consumers have the information, they will manage their electricity bills. The next document on your desks is from ASCE, the American Society of Civil Engineers. It is a ranking of energy infrastructure. It shows that in Missouri, the energy infrastructure is ranked a D+. That simply is a cost to our consumers, to our constituents, that I think is unacceptable. Finally, there's another document that's called Setting the Record Straight. Most of you have received from opposition to Senate Bill 564, some information in your inboxes, and I want to address some of the concerns that were expressed. One of those concerns was this legislation guts Public Service Commission authority. That is absolutely false. Legislation stays within all of the current processes of Missouri Public Service Commission. No change in electric costs can occur unless the commission has approved those in their traditional 11-month process. Policymakers have written language that make it clear that the current prudency standard and the current burdens of proof do not change. That is carefully worded into the legislation. Another opposition Utilities want this because it allows them to collect money from consumers sooner or quicker. Again, that is not true, Mr. President. Utilities do not get to recover money any quicker. It can only be recovered when a rate case, an 11-month process, has been implemented and the Public Service Commission has agreed that those costs were prudently incurred and build them into the next rate schedule. The next is there's no need for this legislation. There are lots of reasons why we do need the legislation. Obviously, the cybersecurity issue is one. We certainly need better security. We need to protect the grid against both physical and cyber attacks. Businesses, manufacturers, data centers need reliable energy that is even better, is even more stable and more reliable than the energy we have today. Outage statistics in Missouri look good on paper, but they only tell a partial story. Today, businesses need that high quality power. Without it, they simply cannot run the state of the art processes they need to run at a high level for their businesses. Anyone who's worked on our economic development committees or has worked to try to attract companies into Missouri knows that that reliable, secure, and stable electricity is superbly important. This bill won't make costs more stable and predictable. That, again, Mr. President, is false. Over the last decade, Missouri's rates have risen nearly 6% per year. That's four times faster than the national average. It's faster than all but four states in the country. And the states that have modernized and updated energy laws have found energy costs to be more stable, more predictable, and in some cases, costs have actually been reduced. So Illinois is probably our nearest neighbor to demonstrate that. Florida invested $2 billion after the 2006 hurricanes to modernize their grid. Their rates went down 2.8% over that time. So stable and predictable costs are a component, an important component of modern grids and updated policies. The next, the rate caps aren't real caps. That's not also not true. These rate caps, if passed as filed, are some of the most consumer friendly in the country. They're simple, they work on a pass-fail basis. If the cap is exceeded, the Public Service Commission has full authority to penalize the corporations who have exceeded the cap. And those in the substitute, it is explicit that those corporations cannot recover those penalties from the consumers. That is prohibited in the current legislation before you. The bill won't make costs, the rate caps aren't real caps. They are real caps. Again, the substitute hardens them further. If in fact a corporation exceeds their rate by 3%, they incur the penalties. If they exceed that 3.75%, they lose all rights to the upgraded regulatory environment. Another, rates have gone up that much, haven't gone up that much, so the 3% cap doesn't really provide that much value. That's just simply not true. The federal statutes show that over the last decade, energy costs in Missouri have increased four times faster than the national average. They've increased faster than all but three states. Edison Electric Institute data shows that energy costs have risen an average of 5 to 6% per year over the last decade in Missouri. A 3% cap will limit those rate increases to half of the historic rates, providing the stability and the predictability that customers need and want. Next document on your desk is a summary of how Missouri is falling behind on-grid investments and why it has an impact on both the economy and job growth. I've already mentioned how fast energy costs are rising, four times faster than the national average. 50 states, 47 have risen. Missouri has risen faster than 47 of those states. Out of the 50 states, Missouri has a below average rating on energy regulation and is ranked 44 out of 50 by the Regulatory Research Associates. Missouri's investment in the energy grid from 2011 to 15 was trailing the country in terms of dollars invested when compared to other utilities, similar utilities across the country. KCP&L was 56 out of 66, excuse me, 58 out of 66. Ameren was 60 out of 66 in terms of dollars invested in the grid, and compared to 66 like utilities. Another way to look at this is that Ameren and KCP&L would have to invest $3 billion additional to what they have invested in order to just be at the midpoint of that 66 comparably sized elect utilities. And so that gives us a sense of just how far behind we have fallen. This is going to hurt Missouri's reliability over time. Ameren, Missouri is lagging in the bottom half of the country when comparing outage restoration rates, or times, which is a critical because of the cost of the length of an outage. And the resiliency of the grid is something that is becoming more and more, getting more and more attention in the industry, not just reliability, which essentially measures how often you have outages, but resilience, which says how quickly you can get that power restored. Let me quickly walk through the floor sub, Mr. President. There's a technical correction, section 386-390. That's a technical correction. It doesn't require a lot of attention. It's simply something that the PSC chairman asked us to put in there because there was some confusion over what cases could be brought before the Public Service Commission. So 386-390 simply clarifies that their jurisdiction is limited to the things over which they have some control. And I don't know that it's been a big problem, but the chairman asked us to fix that so that they wouldn't get cases before them that they really don't know anything about. The economic development rider, there is an economic development rider in the substitute. It encourages adding new electric load from large consumers, which helps to cover the fixed cost of the energy, and by that impact can help reduce the cost to all other consumers. Provides a discount average of 40% over a five-year period, and a 10% discount for a sixth year if the new load takes service from an underutilized circuit where that power is readily available. There are rate limitations. Section 393-1655, utilities opting to use the Cyber Physical Security Property Tax Trackers, or PISA, imposes a three-year rate moratorium with a 3% cap for the next rate case and penalty for exceeding that cap for electric utilities with more than 200,000 Missouri customers. That would include both KCP&L and Ameren. So that rates would be frozen for 3 years from the last rate case that was incurred prior to filing for the PISA. And then at the end of that three-year period, they could be increased a maximum of 3% annual increase per annual average per year compounded annually. So that also requires the end of use of trackers. There'll be no more trackers. Everything will be under the cap. If the 3.75% cap is exceeded, they lose the privileges of PISA. In addition to that, opponents have wanted to assurance these adjustments stay within the caps annually, so that the substitute accomplishes that request. Everything's under the caps. The added language would prevent the adjustments from exceeding the caps in any given year. So it's not just at the end of the three-year period. If in any year those caps are exceeded, they're in violation of the 3% cap. That's a significant change in the Senate substitute. Full prudency from the PSC still applies. The cost remains subject to the caps in a rate case and cannot be carried forward after the rate case to be considered in future cases. The FAC is removed. Property tax and cybersecurity trackers is allowed for physical or cybersecurity. That's all under the cap now. There's plant in service accounting. That's simply the new accounting process that allows utilities at the next rate case to recover those investments they've made to modernize the infrastructure in the rates that the Public Service Commission authorizes once they verified that all the costs were prudently incurred. Section 393-1400 provides more transparency to the PSC and stakeholders on the future of grid modernization. It requires annual capital investment plans be presented to the Public Service Commission. And in the original bill, the caps extended for 5 years, the sunset extended for 10. In the floor substitute, the cap and the sunset are both at 5 years. The PSC has one-time authority to extend the plan, including rate caps under the same terms for an additional 5 years. That's completely under the authority of the PSC and whether or not to extend that. Mr. President, I hope that by not going too far into the legislation tonight, it gives my colleagues sufficient time to review the floor substitute, to go through some of these handouts. I'm happy to have discussions with them. We actually have two meetings set up tomorrow with stakeholders and as well as with some of those who have opposition concerns. And we're going to try to work through those concerns and see if the floor substitute addresses all those. And if not, where there are additional compromises that we can work through in order to be prepared to fully debate Senate Bill 564 on the floor and bring it to a successful vote. Given that, Mr. President, I would ask that this bill be laid on the informal calendar for some future date.
Does any senator desire to be heard? We are on the Senate substitute for Senate Bill.
I'd ask that the bill be laid on the informal calendar.
564. This bill will be laid upon the informal calendar. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're going to go to second read in a minute if the pro tem is listening. In the meantime, would you inquire from the secretary if there are messages from the governor? If so, I'd ask the reading be waived and they be printed in the journal.
There are messages from the governor. The reading will be waived and they will be printed in the journal. And we will be waiting on the senator from Newton.
Again, yes, sir. Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of second reading of Senate bills.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for second reading. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 849.
Senate Bill 849, an act relating to prohibiting public entities from contracting with companies discriminating against Israel.
Government reform. Senate Bill 850.
Senate Bill 850, an act relating to investigations of child abuse and neglect.
Seniors, families, and children. Senate Bill 851.
Senate Bill 851, an act relating to juvenile court orders.
Judiciary, civil, and criminal jurisprudence. Senate Bill 852.
Senate Bill 852, an act relating to dental insurance.
Insurance and banking. Senate Bill 853.
Senate Bill 853, an act relating to the prohibition of political subdivisions from regulating auxiliary containers.
What bill was that, 853?
853.
Local government elections, Senate Bill 854.
Senate Bill 854, an act relating to emergency communication services.
Commerce, consumer protection, energy, environment, Senate Bill 855.
Senate Bill 855, an act relating to the duties of the State Board of Education.
Education, Senate Bill 856.
Senate Bill 856, an act relating to the public school retirement system of Kansas City.
Health and Pensions, Senate Bill 857.
Senate Bill 857, an act relating to the placement of children.
Judiciary, Civil, and Criminal Jurisprudence, Senate Bill 858.
Senate Bill 858, an act relating to investigations of child abuse or neglect.
Judiciary, Civil, and Criminal Jurisprudence, Senate Bill 859.
Senate Bill 859, an act relating to tax increment financing.
Economic Development, Senate Bill 860.
Senate Bill 860, an act relating to short-term major medical insurance.
Insurance and banking, Senate Bill 861.
Senate Bill 861, an act relating to operation of platoons on Missouri roads.
Transportation, Infrastructure, Public Safety, Senate Bill 862.
Senate Bill 862, an act relating to electrical contractors.
Professional Registration, Senate Bill 863.
Senate Bill 863, an act relating to Medicaid per diem reimbursement rates.
Appropriations, Senate Bill 864.
Senate Bill 864, an act relating to employment preferences for certain persons connected to past military service.
Veterans and Military Affairs. Senate Bill 865.
Senate Bill 865, an act relating to commercial zones.
Economic Development, Senate Bill 866.
Senate Bill 866, an act relating to fence maintenance along the historic Missouri Rock Island Railroad corridor.
Agriculture, Food Production, and Outdoor Resources, Senate Bill 867.
Senate Bill 867, an act relating to the dollar value modifier used in certain school districts.
Education, Senate Bill 868.
Senate Bill 868, an act relating to land subject to rail banking.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 869.
Senate Bill 869, an act relating to employment security.
Small Business and Industry, Senate Bill 870.
Senate Bill 870, an act relating to emergency medical services.
Local Government Elections, Senate Bill 871.
Senate Bill 871, an act relating to court reporters.
Judiciary, Civil and Criminal Jurisprudence, Senate Bill 872.
Senate Bill 872, an act relating to motor vehicle franchises.
Transportation, Infrastructure, Public Safety, Senate Bill 873.
Senate Bill 873, an act relating to a course on career readiness for ninth grade students.
Education, Senate Bill 874.
Senate Bill 874, an act relating to grand juries.
Judiciary, Civil and Criminal Jurisprudence, Senate Bill 875.
Senate Bill 875, an act relating to a reporting requirement for lost or stolen firearms.
Transportation, Infrastructure, Public Safety, Senate Bill 876.
Senate Bill 876, an act relating to nonpartisan elections.
Local Government Elections, Senate Bill 877.
Senate Bill 877, an act relating to the publication of electronic notice of the sale of real property.
Judiciary, Civil, Criminal Jurisprudence, Senate Bill 878.
Senate Bill 878, an act relating to public contracts for purchasing supplies.
Transportation, Infrastructure, Public Safety, Senate Bill 879.
Senate Bill 879, an act relating to a qualifying life event for a special enrollment period.
Insurance and Banking, Senate Bill 880.
Senate Bill 880, an act relating to adjustments to tax rate levies of political subdivisions.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 881.
Senate Bill 881, an act relating to special license plates.
Veterans and Military Affairs, Senate Bill 882.
Senate Bill 882, an act relating to the Missouri Higher Education Savings Program.
Education, Senate Bill 883.
Senate Bill 883, an act relating to the designation of February as Earthquake Awareness Month.
General Laws, Senate Bill 884.
Senate Bill 884, an act relating to bonding requirements of retail sales licensees.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 885.
Senate Bill 885, an act relating to sales tax for public safety.
Local Government Elections, Senate Bill 886.
Senate Bill 886, an act relating to fantasy sports contests.
Progress and Development, Senate Bill 887.
Senate Bill 887, an act relating to savings account for first-time home buyers.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 888.
Senate Bill 888, an act relating to criminal history records.
Judiciary, Civil and Criminal Jurisprudence, Senate Bill 889.
Senate Bill 889, an act relating to the annexation of property within fire protection districts.
General Laws, Senate Bill 890.
Senate Bill 890, an act relating to child abuse or neglect investigations.
Seniors, Families, and Children, Senate Bill 891.
Senate Bill 891, an act relating to Buy Missouri Week.
General Laws, Senate Bill 892.
Senate Bill 892, an act relating to the public employee retirement system for prosecuting and circuit attorneys.
Health and Pensions, Senate Bill 893.
Senate Bill 893, an act relating to the petition process of amending the law.
Local Government Elections, Senate Bill 894.
Senate Bill 894, an act relating to computer science.
Economic Development, Senate Bill 895.
Senate Bill 895, an act relating to interest on judgments.
Judiciary Civil and Criminal Jurisprudence, Senate Bill 896.
Senate Bill 896, an act relating to state colleges and universities' grievance procedures.
Education, Senate Bill 897.
Senate Bill 897, an act relating to the taxation of partnerships.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 898.
Senate Bill 898, an act relating to course access in education.
Education, Senate Bill 899.
Senate Bill 899, an act relating to password protection.
General Laws. Also, please refer Senate Bill 603 from the Committee on General Laws to the Committee on Education. And, Mr. President, have you had the letter from the governor yet? Okay. Would you please refer...
Senator, that bill will be referred, the one you referred to.
And have you had a letter from the governor?
Now, we do have messages from the governor.
You have taken those in?
We have.
Okay. Would you refer the appointments and addendums to the Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments?
They will be referred. Senator Foucault.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Mr. President.
Senator McCall, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an announcement. As members and staff and folks know, tonight is the annual Senate bowling tournament to benefit St. Raymond Society here in the capital city. This is the 30th annual, I wasn't even alive when this started, Mr. President, 30th annual bowling tournament tonight. Food begins at 6:45, lanes open at 7 for practice, and bowlings will start at 7:30. There is a diaper drive tonight. Please feel free to bring a package of two of diapers to the event with you. And then two lovely young ladies will be walking around selling 50-50 tickets. So bring your wallet, Mr. President.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Announcement. Senator from the 5th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have an announcement. Tomorrow will be the third annual sex trafficking awareness rally here in the state capitol. The networking will start at 8 a.m. till 12. In the rotunda, we will have different booths with different organizations giving out their information, letting all of the legislators know how important it is. Sex trafficking awareness rally is here in the state capitol. Okay.
Thank you.
We will have a rally in the rotunda at approximately 1 p.m. I would like to encourage each and every one of you to stop by any of the booths and learn more about what's happening in our own state when it comes to sex trafficking. It's a silent epidemic, and I want all of you to be aware of what's happening so that we can try to do something about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Announcements? Announcements? Hearing none. Senator from Cole.
Their business coming for the body, I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will stand adjourned under the rules. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it, the ayes do have it. The Senate will stand adjourned under the rules.